We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everybody, welcome to RotoWire Fantasy, now the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with Chris Liss at Chris's girlfriend's mom's house, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Heather's mom's house. I don't usually call her my girlfriend anymore. Usually my wife, wife, but Heather's, close enough.
Yeah,
okay. Heather's house, yeah.
Your lady friend.
Partner, you know, would be good.
All right. Okay, great. So your snarky 150 is up on the site. Your targets are up on the site. There's some news here and there. We're getting closer and closer to big drafts. We've got the Stake League in what, a week? Week and a day?
Yeah. Oh, really? It's that close? I hope I'm not on an airplane during that.
Yeah, that's right. It's Tuesday the 24th. So, yeah, I mean, it's a topsy-turvy world for you right now. So let's just jump right into it. Aaron Jones had missed some time with an injury. He is back at practice this week. Some good news there. Absence of bad news you want to see at this point in time. It was a hamstring. Anytime I see hamstring, groin, anything like that, I get a little concerned, especially with the running back.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a bloodbath this year if you look at the injuries in baseball and basketball. Yeah. And I just expect real serious injuries. And we had, obviously, Cam Akers, Michael Thomas were kind of serious. But since then, it's been so many of these, like, DeAndre Swift, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, all these, like, minor injuries to serious players. And I don't really know what to make of it. And I don't, you know, it's like, it's just a whole bunch of news that is really hard to understand. But I think we'll get some real injuries coming soon. And maybe some of these are real injuries. But I'm just not really doing much with these sort of minor injuries so far.
Yeah. Because, you know, like we talked about in the SiriusXM show, you know, some minor injuries become big things. You can become OBJ or you can become David Montgomery. It can go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so we don't know who's who yet. I mean, obviously the guys who are super injury prone, we maybe, you know, when Sammy Watkins misses time, you're like, oh, he's going to miss time. But when some random guy like Swift or Aaron Jones misses time, you just sort of move him down ever so slightly, if any, just in case it's serious, even though you have really no idea whether it is or not.
Dobbins or Swift right now?
I have Swift over him. The problem with Dobbins is that for me, quarterbacks are either they have mobility and they make plays when things break down, or they don't have mobility and they use the running backs as their legs, so to speak. So whenever you had like Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, those running backs are their legs. So a smart quarterback uses a more athletic player in his stead to deal with, you know, the play not working out. Whereas a quarterback that's athletic is either going to buy time to throw down the field like Mahomes or scramble, or like Lamar Jackson, just take off. So I just don't see how Dobbins gets enough receptions. Now, maybe they'll call some design throws to him, but you really like those veteran quarterbacks that if the progressions aren't there, they're dumping it off. So with Dobbins, I don't know. Swift has Goff. I think they're going to dump off a ton to Swift.
Yeah, they might. And to be fair, like I looked at your snarky rankings, and they're not really out of line with ADP. You have Dobbins at 26 right behind Swift, ahead of Mixon. Most people have Mixon ahead of both. So you're a little, you know, it's more the story should be that you don't trust Joe Mixon and the Bengals.
Yeah, I don't have a good offensive line. I think Mixon's okay. I think he's a fine player. I don't think he's like Barkley or Chubb or Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry. I don't think he's a special player. I think he's just a guy. And if the team around him isn't very good at blocking, I don't think he overcomes that. So I'm sort of low on him. But you never know. I mean, he's not a bad player. And also, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Bengals offensive line will click. But for now, there's no reason to believe they have even an average offensive line.
So I just saw a note just before the show started that the Bengals right now are using a rookie at right guard, but it's not the rookie you think. It's not Jackson Carmen, their second round pick. It's their fourth round pick. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's kind of just damning about how bad a pick that might have been. So we'll see if that changes or anything. But, you know, I get it there. And just for ADP purposes, I always use the NFFC. They have Mixon, you know, in the last 8 days, they have Mixon at 21. They've got, drafters have got him there, not you know, them themselves. Dobbins at 28, and Swift has dropped down to 31 because of this, his own injury that he's had lately. And probably because of the buzz about maybe he's going to split carries with Jamal Williams.
I think a healthy Swift gets a lot of carries. Is Swift the type of guy that's going to hold up? We don't know. He's never done it. But same with Dobbins. We don't really know, like, you know, how durable he is over a whole season. Again, it just comes down to the pass catching. I really see Swift as having, you know, 50 plus and maybe 70 or 80 if things go his way. And Dobbins, I'd like to see it. I think he can do it. I just don't know if it's the right situation for him.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that one there. Swift is scheduled to return back to practice as a limited participant tomorrow. He probably won't be ready for Saturday's preseason game. Obviously, set out the preseason opener. He's dealing with a groin injury, but should be back soon. You know, Detroit, you know, they have Hockenson, and they have some receivers that are to be kind, aren't top receivers. You know, you're looking at Tyrell Williams and Breshad Perriman as your starting wideouts there.
Yeah, there's scrubs. And I think Hockenson will get some targets and Swift will get some targets, and they'll throw to the receivers occasionally. I think it's going to be a lot of – I think Swift has a huge opportunity. I really do. I think he could be, you know, a monster if he can hold up. And I don't love Hockenson that much because, A, he gets hurt a lot, and, B, if you look at last year, they had Stafford, and they had no Galladay because he was hurt all year. So what do they have? Marvin Jones. That's really all they lost was Marvin Jones. Amendola, whatever. I mean – so I don't see like Hockenson being in that different of a situation than he was that last year.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you on that. And so, and I get it. I still like Hockenson because I think he's got pretty improving skills. This is year three. We know how tight ends take a little while to take that next level. I think Goff is going to be king of the dump offs and short passes, and I think that helps Hockenson too. And I don't know, maybe, I mean, it might work against him that they don't have receivers that open up the field for him. The fact that Galladay is gone, that Marvin Jones is gone, they're now down to Perriman and they're down to Tyrell Williams and Quentin Cephas. This is not Quentin Cephas breakout season. He might not even be the number three receiver on that team, but we'll see about that. It might be Amon-Ra St. Brown for that matter. But, you know, we're talking about the offenses that we don't want to invest in. Detroit's got to be high on that list. We didn't really mention them in the show earlier today, but we mentioned the Raiders. We mentioned the Texans. Giants and the Bengals or the Lions are also right there.
Yeah, although I do think Swift has real upside and Hockenson does too. I mean, I think the thing about Hockenson is if he does take that leap in year three, like he becomes what he was supposed to, then maybe there is more upside. I was just saying that people just assume that, you know, the Lions have cleared the deck for him, so he's going to have all the targets. But really, like, it was cleared already, right? I mean, Marvin Jones is better than Perriman and Tyrell Williams, but it's not like Marvin Jones was getting 150 targets. So there'll be like the same amount of receiver targets as there was last year, basically. And it's just a question of does Hockenson, can he really handle 140 targets, 135 targets, or is he going to be at 120?
Right.
So there's that. And how efficient are they going to be moving the ball? Is he going to get red zone looks? But I think Swift and Hockenson are like appealing picks for the Lions because they don't really have anybody else.
Yeah. So you miss out on the top three tight ends. We'll stipulate to that. Would you rather do Kyle Pitts at 51? And this is NFFC.
Hockenson's my sixth of the six. Like, I definitely like Andrews and Pitts better.
Okay. So, I was going to say Pitts goes a full round ahead of Hockenson. That's the thing. Would you rather pay that round tax to get Pitts? Or would you be willing to wait on, take your chances in getting Andrews or Hockenson the next round?
I mean, I like Andrews the best value of the three, but I like, I mean, Pitts is just fun. I mean, I'm, you know, you want to have some Pitts. I have a couple of shares. I want to get
them. I don't have them yet. Yeah.
Well, you want to have some because just in case, right? I mean, it's just one of those things. Right. when Bitcoin was created in 2009, I think Hal Finney, who was like the first guy that Satoshi emailed, said, or maybe it was Satoshi who said this. He said, you might want to get some of this just in case. This is in 2009 when it was, you know, worth like a cent. Right. You might want to get some just in case. And that's how I feel about Kyle Pitts. You don't know if he really is the deal, that the real deal, then you probably want to have some.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I have more opportunities still. I'm trying to figure out what league would best fit. Is it going to be an auction style league? It probably will be. But, you know, if Dalton Del Don's in the league or someone else that loves to speculate, I don't even know if Dalton's a big Pitts guy.
Oh, yeah, he is. He took him in the third. When I took ETN in that Beat Chris list, he took Pitts in the third.
So, yes, he is. Yes, yeah. He is.
He's going all in on that kind of player.
Yeah. I can see that. I'll find a way to get them somewhere there, but it's just, there's usually almost always somebody else that likes them more.
Yeah, you won't get them, I don't think. I think the way you're talking, you're not going to get them, to be honest.
It's possible. Is there a Velociraptor behind you or something there, or what was
behind
that?
Me? I don't know. There might be. I don't know. It's a lot of strange things happening these days.
Yeah, there's the garbage truck interruption that we had the other day. That was fun. We got
to
get another.
Not one of that. As opposed to the dump truck.
Dump truck. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Dump truck. Yes.
And but I will say, yesterday I was at the ocean, and we saw a seal swimming, like a sea lion swimming like 20 feet from us, and it really looked like a dog. It kept poking its head up. You know, it looked like kind of like a golden retriever or something. Well, he was more black.
Maybe
like
it was my dog.
Lab, brown lab, yeah. And he just kept, you know, popping his head up. Nice. And it was cool. We were tracking him. He was hanging around.
Erin was about 10 miles up the coast from you yesterday, by the way. She was in Malibu, so with her cousins. So it was pretty cool. Hey, hard-hitting content like that deserves a good sponsor. We've got WinBet. So if there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions. And even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots with Chris Liss, or try your hand at baccarat with the distinguished Jim Coventry. I know he's a big Baccarat guy. I'm positive of that. WinBet is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with Chris Liss. Your targets article is out on the site there, Chris. No surprise if you've been paying attention to us that Jonathan Taylor is on that list. Saquon Barkley is on this list. You were saying earlier, that's your favorite start, is if you could start off Taylor Barkley. And right now in a 12-team league, that's highly possible.
I wouldn't say highly, but I'd say it's possible. And you think it's? I think Taylor's going back up to like 10, and Barkley does. You're not going to get him on the way back at 14 or 15 or whatever. But
it's close. It's close. Right now, Taylor is number 10 in the last 8 days, and Barkley's 13. Yeah. So all it takes is one guy to get jumped.
Two guys.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it can happen. It's possible if you're lucky. To me, that's the Stone Cold Nuts. That's two guys who are in the top 5 or 6 for number one overall next year. And, you know, if we're saying let's make bets, let's just take odds. Like if you're betting on the home run leader, right, you're not going to bet on Mookie Betts, even if you thought he was going to hit 30 home runs this year. You're going to bet on somebody who can go big for the home runs. And it's the same thing. It's like if you're betting on number one overall pick in fantasy next year, it's going to be McCaffrey, Cook probably, but also, you know, like Taylor, Barkley, maybe Etienne is a very low round pick. you know, that's like the lowest guy you probably would have a decent, you know, not get huge odds on to be number one overall next year. And so I like to draft those kind of guys. There's no question about Barkley's workload once he's healthy, and he should be healthy soon. And Taylor, I don't really think there's a big question either. I think he's going to get a huge workload.
Barkley's going to have a terrible offensive line. At least I think it's a terrible offensive line again. Does that scare you at all?
I mean, if I knew for sure it was terrible, I would downgrade him. I think it has a good chance to be terrible, but it has a chance to improve too. So I don't want to say for sure it's going to be terrible. I think one of the keys there is Andrew Thomas, their number four overall pick, was playing on a bad ankle last year, and he had surgery to fix it. So I think that's huge, right? If he's what he's supposed to be rather than a gimpy version. I mean, imagine you're a top prospect, you get drafted, and you're playing on a bum ankle. It's probably difficult, you know? And so if your ankle's fine, maybe he's the guy he's supposed to have been. And then that makes, you know, a huge difference. And we'll see. We'll see if he can.
The Giants and the Bengals are similar in that respect. The Bengals spent their first round pick in 2019, number 11 overall, in Jonah Williams. He missed the entirety of his rookie season. And then, you know, with an injury. And then last year he played, I think he played like eight games. He missed a lot of games. Point being is, and you know, that's a problem, is they still don't know what they have in him. They still don't know what the best version of Jonah Williams looks like. They're kind of counting on that this year. That's why they went with – one of the reasons I went with Chase instead of Sewell. I don't know if that's a good choice or not. We'll see. I'm hearing that Sewell is not like a man-child dominating things in Detroit. So who knows? I think it's the verdict's not quite in on him either.
Yeah, offensive line is hard, right? Like, you think QBs are hard to draft. It's hard to know who's going to be good, and you're kind of taking a shot and hoping for the best. But, like, you think, oh, let's go safe and just draft offensive linemen. But, like, they're not – there's no sure thing there either, you know? I mean, it's – you know, for me, it's like I would just take the best player that was, like, an offensive – like a left tackle or a cornerback or even a wide receiver, whoever's the best player. If there's no, you know, Trevor Lawrence type quarterback available, I'll just take the best player. But it's not like, oh, well, yeah, we don't know with quarterback, so just take the obvious best left tackle and that'll be a sure thing. Because it's not usually like that, right? Like, so often it's not. And hopefully Andrew Thomas is, but so far he's not been. And that's, you know, that sucks as your fourth pick.
Yeah. And honestly, it happens. I mean, there's busts. The bust rate is probably higher than we think at every position. You know, we used to think, get the safe offensive tackle. Get Anthony Munoz. Okay, he's a once-in-a-lifetime type of player. It's not just get Anthony Munoz. I mean, there are obviously some very goods in there, but, you know, you can miss too. You can get Tony Mandridge. I mean, that's still possible. So, yeah, you can look at it that way. Interesting to see some of the reports on the rookie quarterbacks. We saw Trey Lance throw that 80-yard ball in the first preseason game. Good throw against the Chiefs, you know, against their second-string secondary. But it still was a fun throw to watch. He's getting some love. He's the number 13 quarterback draft in the NFFC over the weekend.
Yeah, I just took him in that RotoWire Invitational for the hell of it, and then I backed him up with Kirk Cousins, just in case.
That's a good matching. I like that. Cousins got a good early season schedule, too.
Yeah, and I'll have to drop one of them, you know, before long, obviously, in a six-man bench league, but what the hell. I think it's just weird. I talked about this on the show a bit. I don't think it's good that they're going in with both those guys. Like, I just think it creates a problem, whereas if Garoppolo – I think if they just gave it to Lance and said, we traded our future for this guy, Garoppolo's the best backup in the league. You know, we know if anything happens to Lance, we could still win a Super Bowl with Garoppolo if he just make that throw to Emmanuel Sanders. And so they feel like – okay, we're good. But to have Garoppolo likely going as a starter just opens a can of worms, because if they're winning, it's going to be hard to make the switch. But you kind of need to make the switch, I think, for the ceiling. And I just don't like that, to trade up for a guy that much and take him with a third pick and then not commit to him right away. So it's a little bit, you know, it sort of doesn't make sense. I don't know what exactly they're going to do. But, yeah, he did look great on that throw, moved well and through. And the other thing is that he's a weird guy, though, because he's only had like 300 attempts in college, and it was at, like, North Dakota State or something. So it's like some small college, you know, not like, you know, SEC, and he's got a tiny sample, but he's clearly a great athlete and put up huge college numbers. But it's like such a small sample to take a guy third overall. So it'll be really interesting to see.
It will be, compare that to Justin Fields, who And also didn't have like this extensive college career. I think it was only 2 years as a starter at Ohio State, but you know, at least it was in the Big Ten. He played in the national title game. You know, he played against Bama last year in the title game. He beat Clemson, and he was awesome. He was hurt, and he still beat Clemson in that game. And it was him. He had a big impact in that game. So you could see, like, you could see him against tougher competition. But it's kind of funny. There was a note today saying Fields might start getting more reps with the first team. He's been taking all of his reps with the second team so far. They're still adamant that Andy Dalton is the starter. But I'd say it's probably more likely you see Fields before I think you'll see him before Trey Lance, but I'm not entirely sure. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I just think like it's different because, well, the Bears probably fancy themselves a contender with a better QB. So,
yeah,
you know, their defense is good. And if they have good QB play, then maybe they are decent. But they're not as much of an immediate contender as the Niners. And so it's a little easier to deal with that because if they're 3-3, they can pull the plug a lot easier. There's no clubhouse issues. There's no like, hey, this is our guy that we, you know, because every football team is also a workplace, right? So it's like,
yeah,
if a guy's doing his job and doing it decently well, and you're 5-1, you know, it's kind of a hard sell to pull that guy. And especially if it goes badly, you know, it was hard enough for Tua and Fitzpatrick. And Fitzpatrick,
that was just the one I was going to go with.
Just a journeyman, you know, and so, you know, maybe Tua wasn't quite ready, but they're not going to be polished. They're going to probably make mistakes. I mean, unless it's like some prodigy that you don't, you know, it's Patrick Mahomes or something. So I don't know. I think the Chicago situation is a little better, but I don't think you want to have a hedge if you're a team like that. I think you just want to draft your guy and give him the reins and that's it. Personally, I think it's cleaner. But, you know, Garoppolo's under contract. They brought in Dalton, you know, so they did both. And then they traded picks to get Field. So both teams will work it out, but I just think it's a little messier when you do it that way.
Right. You know, and by the way, Fields is starting to creep up in ADP too. He's QB 17. Lance was actually in the last 8 days, he's QB 15, but that was just overall contest. And Tom Kesnick was referring to Lance's ADP over the weekend, the RotoWire Online Championship. And I might've just been over the weekend too, but Lance, probably that 80 yard touchdown bumped his ADP to the point where he's going the same level as Trevor Lawrence and Burrow. And I think that might be a mistake. Especially Lawrence. I think Lawrence, I know there's this Urban Meyer doing his, well, we have 1 and 1A at quarterback. BS. Come on. He's your starter. Don't give me this Gardner Minshew crap.
I love Lawrence this year. I mean, the reports are good. I think Urban Meyer was saying in the preseason, like, we went too slowly. I don't like slow offenses. Yeah. So it should be a fast-paced offense. You know, one of his running backs is the guy he played with in college who's a 4-4 running basically wide out, you know, in Travis Etienne. And then he's got three other wideouts. One was a second-round pick last year, Laviska Shenault. I think he was a second-rounder. Chark is a second-rounder, had a big year with Minshew. Marvin Jones is solid still.
Yep.
So there's weapons, and if they move fast and their defense isn't very good, there could be a lot of shootouts. So I like Lawrence. I'm happy to have him as my starting quarterback.
I am too. Your comment, the snarky 150, still shudders to think he might have been a Jet. Never pass on an opportunity to bang on the Jets. I love it there.
Of course.
Are you tired of the same old fantasy football leagues that get canceled after a year or so? If so, Dynasty Owner has your back. Go to DynastyOwner.com. New leagues for the 2021 season are forming now. Dynasty Owner unites the fun and excitement of fantasy football with the skill and strategy of the front office by incorporating a salary cap and real NFL players for diehard fantasy football fans that want the real GM experience. Dynasty Owner adds a whole new level of strategy. Are you worried that you won't be able to find anyone to play in your league with? Don't worry. Dynasty Owner can help you fill your league with fantasy football enthusiasts like yourself. You won't have to worry about finding enough players. You can choose to start a league, join an existing, or purchase a team from a previous owner. If you're serious about joining the big leagues, go to DynastyOwner.com/RotoWire and start your dynasty today. We've been talking about these rookie quarterbacks, and you know, obviously, in a dynasty format, they're going to be boosted up a little bit. You know, I made the point earlier; I'll make it again. Zach Wilson gets a lot less love than all the other rookie quarterbacks drafted in this year's class, the first round class, even probably less than Mac Jones, which is interesting because you know Wilson's got the path to playing time. Actually, he goes ahead of Mac Jones. I take that back, but he goes considerably behind Fields and Lance, even though he is drafted ahead of him, is playing right now. I guess it's the distrust of one big year at BYU. Maybe that's part of it. And the lack of mobility is the other part of that.
It's all mobility, right? Everybody knows if you want to win at quarterback position, you need rushing yards. It's just the easiest way to get fantasy points. And so when you have Fields or Lance, you see it right there. Or Jalen Hurts, Lawrence runs a little bit, all these guys, right? And then if you have a guy who doesn't run, he better be even the top guys who don't run are like, you know, Brady, Stafford, Ryan, Cousins. They're not going that high.
Right. Wilson's not a statue, though. Wilson is not a statue. He had 10 rushing touchdowns last year.
Yeah, but he doesn't get any yards per carry or anything, right? I mean, he's not like – it's just like
– No, it's 3.6 yards per carry, yeah.
Yeah, but, so I don't think that's going to translate. I think it's just like in college. That was just a play they like to call.
I can buy that. 32-3 touchdowns and interception last year. He was really
11
good.
Yards per attempt.
These are all good things. We like that. And you mentioned this comment too. He did have a pretty good comment about dealing with what training camp is for. It's like it's a good way to find out what you can and cannot do at the NFL speed.
I think it was him that said it. I think it was him. He said that you find out what you can get away with. And
yes, that was the phrase. Yes.
And like, you know, and that's the, you know, especially for a rookie quarterback, you know, it's like, you know, you've got a good arm, you're young, you're strong. And you're like, all right, this guy's kind of open. Let me see if I can zip this between the two defenders. Oops, I can't. It got picked. All right. I learned something. Mm-hmm. And I would rather have that mentality as my quarterback, right? I don't want him to, especially in preseason where who cares? I'd rather do a little bit of that. And, you know, Brett Favre would do that in the regular season. Find out, you know, what he can and can't get away with and take some crazy chances. But I just think like that's the attitude you want your quarterback to have to an extent, and especially in preseason, right? Like if your quarterback makes no mistakes in the preseason, he's probably not pushing it enough. He's probably not getting enough information for himself.
Yeah, that's right. He's QB 28 right now. Zach Wilson is behind his, you know, the former Jet, Sam Darnold, QB 27. Derek Carr is ahead of him. Deshaun Watson, who's not even going to play this year. I'm pretty convinced about this now. I don't think we're going to see Watson at all this season. He's QB 25.
Well, again, it's just by the time you're drafting QB 25 in the NFBC, in the NFFC.
You're all about trying for upside, yeah.
Yeah, it's like it's 18th round. Okay, just take Watson, you know. But I don't know that he's not going to play. I mean, we don't really know what the deal is. It's just the problem is that things take so long, right? It's like if they could just get this over with, get the evidence on the table, see what really happened, and either prosecute him or drop the case or either sue him or settle the case. If we could just get to a resolution one way or the other, then the NFL could rule on a suspension. But they're probably going to be like – it's going to be like a Trevor Bauer situation where it's just like they're just indefinitely sort of postponing their decision, but he's not going to be playing while that's happening.
Right.
You know, while they're gathering evidence, and it just, you know,
well, and you're a recovering attorney, you know, these things don't go fast and they don't care about the NFL schedule,
but I mean, they should, I mean, there's been enough time to just, you know, put the evidence on the table. I understand that like there's a lot of other factors and a lot of people involved and, you know, and everybody there are procedures for this kind of thing, but like, you know, I mean, it's irreparable harm if you don't play a season in your prime. And maybe he should sit out the whole season, but at least rule on that and get rid of him for the season. You know, maybe he has to sit out forever. Okay, maybe he can start getting a new job. But it just it seems like there's a lot of allegations, but these were made 6 months ago. And they should be able to sift through these things and render some sort of result. But apparently
the problem is more allegations keep coming out. I think that's part of the problem.
Well, I mean, there should be, you know, a deadline where you say, look, if you know, this is public information, has Deshaun Watson done anything to you? Like, just let's get this on the record. You've got another month to do it, you know, to there should just be a process. There's obviously some process. Obviously, it's not like, you know, there are rules in place, but it just seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm just being selfish from a fantasy football perspective, but I just feel like, I just feel like, you know, there is, you know, the facts are the facts and they need to come out and there needs to be a resolution. And the resolution might be that he's done with his NFL play. I mean, it might be so terrible that he's done. Or it might be that he needs a suspension and pay a bunch of money, or he might go to jail. I mean, who knows, right? We don't know the facts ourselves, but it just seems like, these things drag out and it's unfortunate because, you know, it's just like, regardless of the truth, it's we're gonna, you know, lose a portion of the season. I would still draft him late, just in case things get resolved more quickly. Once You know, and but the other problem is, you're right, there's a lot of people involved. And like, so maybe 20 of the 24 want to settle, or maybe there's more than 24 now. Those four people deserve their day in court if they want it, right? That's right. Up to them, right? And so, you know, you can't.
Well, it's not just civil. It could be criminal too.
Right. Well, there's the prosecution, and that's, you know, the state has to get their case in order, but maybe they're still waiting to hear from people. And then also, of course, there's somebody who might be like, screw this. I don't want money. I want to see this. I want my day in court, or I want money, but I want the truth to come out. I don't want to just this to be thrown under the rug, which is what settlements do. Right. So maybe that's a legitimate reason, and that's why it's slow. But
and there's another practical issue too, and that is, I mean, it's, you can't really have a jury trial right now in some localities because of COVID. I mean, yeah. you know, especially Texas, seems like the cases are high there. That might be a problem. I don't know. I know Kim works at the city of Los Angeles, and they've said it's been it's really hard doing jury trials right now. And, you know, that's just one thing that hasn't been happening a whole lot. So that's another thing. And then you run into some like speedy trial rights and all that.
Right. It's 180 days. You got 180 days. But I think that clock starts after there's an indictment, I think. I think if there's, they haven't, I don't know if he's been charged formally. I don't know what the whole thing is. Anyway, whatever. It is what it is. We're not going to know.
There's a lot of complicated.
We're not going to know.
We're getting in the weeds. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to know. And you're going to just have to make a choice. And my choice is, if I'm in a 10-man bench, I will take him in the late rounds. But if I'm in a 6-man bench, he's crossing him off the list. He's not draftable.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. I think that's a good construction. All right. One more read for you guys here. What do your fraternity brother, Steve, Katie from work, and your grandma all have in common? They're all waiting for that invite to your fantasy football league. There is no better way to hang out, no easier way to smack talk, and no more customizable platform to host your fantasy leagues this year than Sleeper. Whether you have a redraft league or a dynasty league that's been around for 10 years, I'm actually on a dynasty league on Sleeper that's been around for, I think, a little just short of 10 years. Sleeper has everything you need in one app. Incredible commissioner tools and customizations, built-in messaging, support for snake draft, auction draft, and best ball leagues, blazing fast news, stats, and scores, all in a beautifully designed mobile app and website that makes every other app feel like horse and buggy. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform for a reason, and all the cool commissioners are switching to Sleeper and not looking back. Don't just take my word for it. Download Sleeper on iOS or Android and see for yourself. You have nothing to lose. It's free. And I can attest, I do use a league on Sleeper. It is a good app. My only issue is that I have 17 different platforms for my leagues. It's the only thing. But that's not a Sleeper problem. That's just a me problem trying to organize everything. It is a good app. I do use it, and I like it. So anyhow, Chris, I want to talk a couple more items here. Your snarky 150 is a good layout of your ranks, but they're real ranks too. People don't, you know, we all are there for the snark, but they're actually real ranks too. What is your, what's your most controversial rank right now? What's your most controversial fantasy football take for 2021?
Well, I have ETN at number 35, which is third round. And I think that's pretty much the min pick on him. And I just feel like I don't know how they're going to use him. I saw in the preseason game, they barely used him. And people are like, oh, see, he's part of a three-way committee. Maybe that'll let you get him a little cheaper. But you don't draft a guy in the first round as a running back to sit. You don't redshirt running backs in the first round. You just don't do that, especially the one that played with this QB. So ETN is probably my most controversial. I mean, having Taylor at 5 still, where he's going at 10, Nick Chubb at 6 ahead of Derrick Henry. What else is a little bit controversial? I have DK Metcalf as the number 3 receiver. Maybe that's not so controversial. I might even put him ahead of Tyreek Hill soon. AJ Brown at number 4 ahead of Ridley and Hopkins. I think that's a little controversial. I just decided I want AJ Brown on my teams, and I'm going to price him accordingly. I have Kelsey really low. I have him at 22. So, you know, that's much lower than the market. So that's another one.
Yeah, that's one where you're just not going to get him because he's never going to be there.
Yeah, I don't want him. I want one of those receivers instead of him.
Sure. Well, and I feel the same way about Waller. It's like I want – and we talked a little bit about this on SiriusXM today is, you know, I'm going to take Brown. I'm going to take McLaurin over him. I was definitely taking Justin Jefferson before the shoulder, and I still think I will. I'll probably take Keenan Allen over him. I might – I don't know. I haven't decided this. I might take CeeDee Lamb over Waller too. I just don't think I want Waller. I mean, it's a distrust of the Raiders as much as anything.
Yeah, Waller's really good, and he gets a ton of targets, and he makes big plays. So I'm in on him at a point. I just like a lot of tight ends. That I love Irv Smith. I like Gronk. I like Higby. And, of course, I love getting Andrews in round six. I like Kyle Pitts. So, like, I just like – yeah, I wouldn't mind Hockenson if he were the one that fell to me last in round six. So I just like a lot of the tight ends. And so I don't really want to take a premium tight end. I took Kittle in one league and non-PPR. So I just want a wide receiver running back with those picks typically.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people advise us. Bob Harris has done that. Pete Overzet, who joined us last week, but also suggested that if he doesn't get one of the early tight ends, he doesn't want to get the middle. He's going to go late and get two of those instead for his lineup builds, because there's plenty of them he likes in the teens.
Yeah, the guys I don't like are like the Goddard Fant tier.
Yeah.
I mean, that tier is a little.
That's what they're referring to.
Yeah, yep, I don't like those guys. I like Smith and Gronk and those guys. But I like the top six too. So if I don't get one of the top six, I'll probably get Irv Smith or Gronk.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right, by the way, that I probably won't end up with Pitts.
You got to be aggressive.
Conceptually, I want one league or two with him, but really, I don't know. I just keep on finding that I'm not willing to take that. I've come close a couple of times, but within like a couple picks away. But it's never.
Well, the other thing is, it's like people are like, well, you got to get some Pitts. I mean, what if he goes crazy? But like, who are you getting instead? You know, it's like, I mean, if you get Josh Allen there, Josh Allen could go, you know, for 40 touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns again. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, a lot of these guys can go crazy at that ADP. You know, so it's like, well, yeah, you could miss out on Pitts's 15 touchdowns and 1,300 yards, but you could also miss out on Josh Allen's 40 touchdowns and 10 rushing touchdowns and 5,000 yards. So, there's obviously upside at that pick, no matter who it is. That's why, you know, it's a little bit of a false choice to say, well, you got to have some of him because of his upside, because everybody's got upside at that point.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair enough. Couple other guys that were in the news a little bit here that I wanted to talk about before we sign off, and we got one question. We'll get to that too. I wanted to mention Zach Moss. He returned to team drills. He's dealing with a hamstring injury of his own. I know you're more team Singletary than you are Moss anyhow. Did the hamstring just kind of push him entirely out of consideration for you?
No, I'm not team anything with the Bills. And I really don't like to put myself on one of these teams, because then
– Okay, that's fair.
If I get new evidence, then I would screw it up and be like, no, I'm on team this. This is a scourge that's infected our political discourse. You know, you're on a team, so evidence doesn't matter anymore.
Okay, but, I'll rephrase. Let me rephrase it.
Yes,
you
yes.
like Singletary better than Moss.
Well, I did mostly because Moss came in with a foot injury, and then he seemed to be over the foot injury, but then he picked up another injury. So then I was like, all right, I'll just stick with Singletary. And Singletary's a solid player. He's not a great player. And neither of them are going to do great at the goal line, because Josh Allen steals so many touchdowns from them and they throw so much. But Singletary catches passes more than Moss. And I think that's in a full PPR. I think I have Singletary slightly ahead of him for that reason, even if Moss ends up being the better early down runner.
Baltimore Ravens. They've had terrible injury news with their wide receivers. We saw that Bateman's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Marquise Brown is returning to practice soon. Sammy Watkins got hurt. They don't think it's a serious injury. They didn't really say what it was. At least I haven't seen that yet. But, yeah, he's always hurt. It's always something to watch for with him.
Yeah, I moved Watkins so far down, like, the mid-70s, even though, like, I could see, like, he might be the number one receiver. Who knows? But I just can't – I just don't – buy that he can suddenly like be a guy who stays healthy enough to be worth drafting anymore. It's just sort of like, I'm just kind of done with him as a player. He had that year in 2015, but that is a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Before we get to one listener question, a quick note from our Blue Wire sponsors.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Thank you to Blue Wire for providing a platform for us here. Brandon asks in the chat, wants to know about the pass catchers with the addition of Stafford with the Rams. You're more in favor of Kupp over Woods, correct?
Yeah, Woods gets those jet sweeps, gets a little boost from that. But I think Kupp's better. He's more efficient. He's more of a red zone guy. Woods almost never operates in the red zone unless he's getting a handoff. So I like Kupp better. Obviously, they both get an upgrade at quarterback, which is good. And it's a pretty narrow tree. I think Higbee gets involved. I like him. I think Van Jefferson is a little bit of a sleeper. We don't know if Van Jefferson's good. We do know they took him in the second round despite a foot injury, which means they obviously liked him at the time, and there was a lot of buzz on him in camp, but they just never threw to him last year. And he seems to be like one of those second-year guys that could take a huge leap where you're like, where did that come from? And you're like, well, they lost Josh Reynolds, and they lost Gerald Everett, and they got a better quarterback, so the offense moved better. And he was good, and he was healthier. But it's just a sleeper because there's no real guarantee that he gets any – we don't know that he gets anything, right? I mean, they signed DeSean Jackson and Tutu Atwell, and so who knows. But I would think Van Jefferson has a little sleeper potential.
A little bit, yeah. And I think Higbee does well too, although he's kind of in that middle tight end tier that you were talking about earlier. He's at the bottom end of that tier, but he's kind of right there with Goddard and Fant.
Yeah, I have him ranked Fant and Goddard a little higher, but I almost prefer Higbee straight up. I certainly prefer him at the price.
Yeah, okay. And I probably choose just one of Kupp and Woods unless I'm really in a best ball contest. I'm in some sort of national contest where stacking matters a little bit. You know, best ball is up here as far as like the stacking desirability goes. NFFC middle tier, singular league, I wouldn't draft. I would probably be a little bit more diverse. I wouldn't really care about stacking them together at all.
Yeah, I don't really care about stacking unless I already like the stack, or unless it's sort of a rare stack that like is cheap. Like if you knew you were targeting Lawrence and you got Marvin Jones and Chark, say, I think that would be interesting because you'd still get your first four or five picks in addition to that. So you get the stack on top. I don't know how much it helps you to stack Tyreek Hill, Kelsey, and Mahomes with the first three picks because, yeah, those guys can go nuts, but like those are your first three picks. So like,
right. You're supposed to go nuts.
Yeah. Whereas if you get a stack that's like, you know, let's say Lawrence throws 38 touchdowns this year. And Chark and Jones go off and you get, you know, Lawrence in the 11th and Jones in the 9th and Chark in the 7th or the 8th. In addition to your other top picks, you know, then you're like, you're really cooking with gas then because you've got this awesome stack. And then there's tons of running backs and receivers early on to do well. So I like stacking in that situation more than stacking like the best three guys available.
And to your point, Mario is saying that that's the stack he most frequently ends up with when he does these best ball leagues, especially on underdog. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Quick note on our way out, Zach Taylor just announced that Joe Burrow will not play in Friday's preseason game. He may not play at all in the preseason. That's kind of annoying. It's not vital, but I really kind of want to see him step up in that pocket, be able to move around a little bit there, see what we've got out of him. For investing in too many leagues with him. It's just, unfortunately, I might not have the luxury of time. Won't play on Friday, so there's note on that.
Yeah, I'm sort of lower on Burrow a little bit. At first, I liked him because he runs a bit and he's good, but I don't think he's going to run much this year. And they just cannot have him behind a terrible offensive line. Like, they need to do what the Chargers did. I like Ja'Marr Chase. It's cool, but they have Higgins and Boyd. I think they should have gone big on the offensive line. and just protected him and then got the receiver the next year. I know they wanted Chase because it was his guy.
Right.
But I don't know, man. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll be able to cobble it together. But this seems like you can't let him get hurt again because he may not be the same guy if he gets hurt again.
Right. And that's why you can't miss on your second round pick on an offensive lineman. It sounds like they've done so in Jackson Carman. Now, again, we're after one preseason game. Right. They haven't whiffed yet, but the news hasn't been positive about him.
But they can't wait. It can't be like in, 2023, you start to be like, he's coming to his own. Like you need help now. The Chargers, they got Bulaga back. They signed a Pro Bowl center. They drafted a guy with the 13th pick. They're like,
they signed a left guard. Yep.
Yeah. They're like, we have Justin Herbert. He survived with the terrible line, but we are rebuilding this line. They could have got a receiver. They could have taken, somebody, for Herbert, another guy. I mean, they have these deep guys, and they have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But the Bengals had two guys. They had, Tyler Boyd is their Keenan Allen, and Higgins is their Mike Williams. They had what they had, and they instead got another receiver. And I just don't know. I just think they should have built that line for Burrow first, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know enough about their offensive line to really say, but to me, that's souring me on Burrow a little bit and Mixon.
I can appreciate that. All right, we're going to close with that. I want to thank WynnBET, WynnBET, for sponsoring us and our other sponsors as well. Thank you guys for listening. We got Joe and Jake at you tomorrow. Take care.